Good morning. I'm going to take a second here to kind of set up. I'm moving a little slower than normal. Somebody left their water on the stool. My wife will get on to me for lifting this board, but so be it. I had a little procedure done about 2 weeks ago. And I'm still in recovery mode, but not supposed to lift a lot, not supposed to do a lot of work. Haven't been to work for 2 weeks. I still have 2 weeks off, so there's a blessing behind everything. Don't you love this time of year? You know, I heard somebody back in the back talking about it being fall, and thanks. And we got a little teaser earlier in the week, and now today it's supposed to be warm. I think I heard Monday it's supposed to be pushing 90 degrees again. Yeah, me and my brother cut a little bit of wood about 3 weeks ago, and I had two more ricks delivered yesterday, and I'm just itching to use them, because we like sitting at a fireplace at night. But anyway, as we get into our service today, first of all, I see a lot of tired faces this morning. And I understand there's a reason for that. And, you know, me and my wife both got invited to participate in that also, but in my condition, just didn't feel like I should spend the night in a box, although it probably would have been good for me. But I think that's awesome what you guys did last night. It shows a real concern and a caring for our community that we live in. And I think we need to do more of that, not just as a church, but as individuals. There is a book that me and my wife have read. Well, let me define read. I listened to it on podcast. I've listened to it twice, actually. I don't know how many times. She's probably listened to it three or four times. She's a little more dedicated than I am. But it's the author's name is Mark Batterson, and the name of the book is All In. I don't know if any of you have heard of it or if you've read it. I highly recommend this book to anybody. And there's a story that I want to lead off with today in this book where the author and his son, I think his son's like 12 years old, and they are going to take an adventure together, and they're going to hike 23 and a half miles of Grand Canyon. A mile descend, 21 and a half miles across, and a mile ascend at the end. And it's 110 degree weather. Probably not a good choice of time of year to do that. But they're going to do this as father and son. And he tells the story of this hike they take. And he starts with the night before. And they're in the room, and they're getting all ready, and they look out, and they see this view of the Grand Canyon. And they're talking, you know, about what it's going to be like, and they've got all their materials, and, you know, checking their packs and checking their water, you know, making sure they have water. And they're getting ready. They go to bed, they get up the next morning, and they meet with the group that they're going to hike with. And, of course, there's a tour guide there with them, or a hike guide, I guess, whatever you'd call them. And he starts giving instruction, and he starts talking about how this hike's going to be and, you know, what to look for, what not to do. Make sure you have water, you know, do this, don't do that. Gives them all the rundown. And so they start their hike, and they're going to go halfway on the first day, camp out overnight, and then finish the trek the next day. So they're going to go roughly, 12 miles the first day. And the author talks about they get through about half of this first day and they start realizing that they were not prepared as they thought they were. The heat, the walk, the up, the down, the dirt, the sweat, These things are starting to get to them, and their water's starting to run low already. But they make it through the first night. They get to the little camp area, and it says they hit the bed, and, you know, they got up the next morning. They felt like they'd been hit by a train. And so they get up, and they start their trek again, and they get on to the other side. And before they get to the very end, they make a decision to take the shorter, steeper route up the backside. Lots of switchbacks, but it's more of an incline. So they get there, and they take this, and about halfway through that, they realize it probably wasn't the best decision. But they're almost there, and when they get to the top, there's this group of tourists, you know, up at the rim of the Grand Canyon, and they're behind the guardrail there, and they're looking out over the scene, and this group comes up, and then they join them, and they're all just standing there, you know, looking back over. You can see some of the pictures, looking back over at the color and the ruggedness and the majesty of this Grand Canyon. And they're standing there doing this together. Two different groups. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for this time of year, for this refreshing after the hot summer, and we get to come into some cool weather. And we refresh our minds, we refresh our spirit and our body. And Lord, we thank you for this place that we can come this morning, that we can open your word, and that you can speak through your word to us. And Lord, I just pray this morning that if there's one heart this morning that's touched by your word, then I praise you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we continue in the book of James, we're going through that journey, and we're still in chapter 1, and our text today is verses 19 through the end of the chapter, which would be take us to 27. As we open that and we begin to read, I think I've got them on the screen, I'm going to read the first three verses because I want us to look at what James is trying to tell us here. I think this is kind of a three-part thing. Excuse me, I got something in my throat. And in the first three verses, it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the message implanted within you, which is able to save your souls." In these first three verses, I think if you were here last week, and Doug, I'm going to piggyback off your illustration last week, but if you were here last week, you missed a really good talk, and Doug talked about this parabola. Is that right? Yeah. I'm not a mathematician or a physician. And he talked about, you know, a point. At any point on this parabola or arc, I would call it, you know, you have this object, and he was talking about lawn darts, but, you know, and you have two different forces or directions that we're talking about. It's moving up, and it's also moving across. And I hope I'm not butchering Doug's physics lesson. But if you really think about this, you know, I want to piggyback on this, because what Doug ended up with was this relationship. You know, that we needed this relationship with Jesus. And I think that's what these first three verses of James are talking to us about. It talks about, you know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But that third verse, verse 21, where it talks about having the word implanted in us. The word was Jesus. And when we have this relationship and we take Christ in us, to start this section in James, you know, he kind of builds off of what Doug was talking about, and he talks about this relationship, how we have Christ in us, and that's how, you know, we should live our lives every day. But as we continue in the verses, we see that there's more than that. We go to the second part of this. And I'll just read through these real quick. 22 to 26, it says, "But be sure you live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves. For if someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he is like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror, for he gazes at himself and then goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the other one who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there and does not become a forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, he will be blessed in what he does. If someone thinks he is religious yet does not bridle his tongue, and so deceives his heart, his religion is futile." So with that in mind, let's go back to our story. I know I kind of left you hanging there on the edge of the Grand Canyon with these two groups. And what we see here is we have this one group, and the author calls them rim huggers. That's the group of tourists up here. They're safe behind that guardrail. They're looking at the same Grand Canyon, the same majestic sight. And if you've never been to the Grand Canyon, I've been twice. I've had the fortune to go twice. And both times, you know, I come back and I still say to this day that that is the one sight. When you first walk up to that edge and you look at that, that's the one sight that you will never forget. It is such a majestic scene before you. And this group, these rim huggers, if you want to call them, they're looking at this same site as the father and son that just walked it. But they don't have the same perspective. Because father and son just spent 2 days, 23 miles hiking in it. They felt the dirt. They felt the pain. They felt the struggle, the thirst, everything. They lived the Grand Canyon, whereas the group of hearers, as James call it, they know about the Grand Canyon. They've probably got their pamphlets and their brochures. They can see it just like we can, and they know all the facts and figures. They know about the Grand Canyon, but they haven't experienced the Grand Canyon. And what James is saying here is that this relationship that Doug talked about last week and that James continues to talk about in the first three verses, it's vital. It's vital to us that we have that relationship that we know about and that we know Jesus. We take him in us and we live that. But there's more to it. That second step is this. We take what we know, we take who we know, who we have inside, and there's another relationship that he talks about when he talks about, that version says living it out. My version says being a doer of the word. So not only do we hear, not only do we take on Christ and we live that, but we have this awesome opportunity, this awesome calling to live it also, to experience it. Not just to hear it, but to live it, to do it. You know, we come to church once a week, and not just church, we come to church once a week. And at home, we open our Bibles, we read, we pray, we study. Behind the guardrails. You know, and me and Robin have talked about this, but when our kids were little, and I'm sure your kids have sang it and you've sang it, but there was a little song that our kids used to sing in Sabbath school called, "I Am the Church. You Are the Church. We Are the Church Together." This is a gathering of church. This is just a building. And I want to tell you today that real church happens out there. This is a refueling station. We come here once a week to get charged up to go out there. And what I want to encourage you on today is that real church, doers of the word. And if you really think about it, every time we walk out of our house, every time we go to work, every time we have an encounter at the store, on the road, wherever you're at, that's church. Because if I have Christ implanted in me, if I'm living the word, then every time I meet somebody on the road or I meet somebody walking down the sidewalk, I am a living example of Christ. And that's a big responsibility if you think about it. Because Robin will attest, I've probably said this before, but I'm not very good when it comes to driving and having patience with other drivers. But when you look at it in this light, you know, every encounter we make, every encounter, we have been given an opportunity, and the choice is ours. And in verse 27, he talks about what this is. You know, the relationship with Jesus, living that out in our encounters every day. And then he tells us a little bit about, you know, what that is, how to do it. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their misfortune and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Doesn't sound very complicated, does it? You know, Robin has a little store down the street, and she comes in contact with people every day. And she had a couple of ladies come in one of them, I believe, was from Dallas. The other one was from the Tulsa area. And they came into her store. They don't know Robin from Adam. Never met her. And they came in and they had their little conversation. And through the conversation, Robin and these ladies both realized that they were both believers. And before the ladies got done and they left, one of the ladies told Robin that she just felt like she needed to have prayer with her. Right there in the store. And before they had prayer, she mentioned that she had this feeling that Robin was fearful of something. There was fear in her life. And it just so happened that at that time there was something going on that we were not sure of the outcome. We didn't know what was going to happen. And this lady had prayer, both of them had prayer with Robin, and they went on their way. You know, it's little things like that, the people that we come in contact with. You know, I'm not very good at that, I'll admit. But every day, and I'll close here in just a minute, I know there's a lot of tired people here. But every day, we get up, and we're given a choice. We're given an opportunity and a choice. We can stay behind the guardrail where it's safe. Or we can walk around the guardrail. And when we go out of our homes every day, the people we work with, the people we meet at the store, the people we're walking down the street, the homeless, the hurting, whoever it is, We have that opportunity to live out what lives in us. And I encourage you this week, my challenge for each of us is to take that step, to walk out around that guardrail every day and be willing to be used, be willing to be called to be that light, to live the word that's in you. And I'll close with Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. I think I could recite it, but it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. As simple as that. There's needy, there's hurting people out there. And our challenge every day is to be willing to be used.